midst of tough times, that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Boasting in our weakness, boasting in the things that happen to us. He says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, this next one, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And as I read that, I'm going to read you another verse that it made me think of. And I think I've gone through all sorts of things. You know, I know some of you, you've got water in your home, you've been working on cleanup. Some of you have been volunteering, helping people. We've just had the stress of things being different than they've been. But I think this is a really good word to think about this morning as we come to worship God. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, it may not always seem that way, but Jesus, our Creator, Master of the universe, has made that promise to us. So let me pray, and then we'll start our worship. Oh, Lord, we are glad that we can come together as a body to worship you, to celebrate that you are the Almighty God, to lift our eyes up from the things of this earth to the things of your kingdom, to the things of heaven. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come, breathe life into us, examine our hearts. Lord, we love you and we want to express that to you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hey, let's rise and let's sing.
I'm not afraid to die.
kicked in. He split the sea. He split the sea. Say what that with me. He split the sea. So what? So I can walk right through it. Amen. Amen. Bless God. If you would, go ahead and be seated. We want to pray for those today that are having to kind of rebuild your house, dwelling, got water in it. Now you're going through that thing of just rebuilding. And so you have all the stress and the strain that comes with, you know, being concerned about your life and your property and all those things, and then seeing the floodwaters come, and some of you have been impacted. Within our church body, we have 22 families who have been directly impacted by the flood. We had 53 of our families total that were either directly or indirectly impacted, but of those 53, 22 have got water in their house to some degree or another. So if you're here today, if you're even not a member of our church, then that's fine. We want to specifically pray for you. If you're having to sort of rebuild, some say, well, it's not much, it's just a room or whatever, but still, it takes time, effort, money, stress, all those things. And some of you, the Fishers, and I know Nildia and Dale Alquist, they've got 3-4 feet of water in their house, a lot of work. The Lewises the same way. So some have been severely impacted. But still, if you've been touched by the flood, what I want you to do, if you would, just stand up with me. If you would, just stand up. All right. All right, church body, you see these. Last week, I believe we prayed for the evacuees. I want us to pray for these people right now. So if you would, church body, find somebody around you. Go and just place your hands. If you don't mind, some of you may be new to the church. We're just going to place a hand on your shoulder just to receive the comfort of the Lord. Just to receive the comfort of the Lord. Church, y'all just begin to pray for them. Just to pray. Receive the comfort of the Lord. Amen. And for those that are sitting, if you would, just pray for those that you know that have been touched, the people in your life. Call them out by name. God will give them strength and focus, encouragement in the Holy Spirit. Few of these folks, it's their second time. They went through this experience last summer, and some of them are going through it again. And there's just a weariness, a toll that takes upon our bodies, upon our soul. Let's take another minute or so. those that have been affected by the flood, the word of the Lord to you today, the word of the Lord to you today, Keith and Laurie and the other folks that are over here, to the Lewises, their dear friends from Brazoria, Holiday Lakes, and others that are here. The word of the Lord to you today is this. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Romans 8, that's what it says. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Jesus overcame this thing. See, he didn't just overcome sin. He overcame every part of our existence that is contrary to the will of God. He overcame all this. He overcame it, and he's going to give you strength through it. You are more than a conqueror. Say that with me. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Say that through Jesus Christ. Let's say it all together. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Amen. You are. That's what Romans 8 said. More than a conqueror. I've used this illustration many times, but it's a great illustration. It really captures it all. It's like the heavyweight boxer. Who is it? Mayweather? What's the guy? Yeah, Mayweather. That thing, fighting that MMA champion, whatever his name was. What was that, last week? 2 weeks ago? A month ago? Whenever it was ago. And they get in there and they beat the tar out of each other, right? I mean, they just beat each other senseless. What did Mayweather make? What did he make? How much did he take home? Huh? Come on, give me much. More than $100 million. That's crazy. More than $100 million. So he gets in the ring, he gets beat senseless, and then he turns around and he gives you the check. Who's the conqueror? Well, he is. Who's more than the conqueror? You are. Because you didn't have to fight the battle. Jesus is the conqueror. He has made you more than a conqueror through his death, his burial, and resurrection. You are an overcomer through faith in Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. You are. So today I'm going to talk about that in the message, about what it means to be more than, how can we overcome the world system that's been flooded, that we've been flooded by here in the last few weeks. Amen. All right. We're going to go ahead and take up our offering at this time. Before we do that, I want to thank all of you who participated in one form or another to help us during the shelter that we had here at Willow. Tomorrow, we're going to close it down at noon. We still have, I'm not sure, 8 to 10 folks that are still here, and so they'll maybe be making their transition either home or to the Angleton shelter or to friends or family. But it's been a real joy to see you living this from friendly to family deal. You know, that thing we've been talking about, we want to become more than a friendly church, we want to become family. And to see that happen, and several of the evacuees have said that. They've said, listen, your church has just, it's been like home. It's just been so, people have just been so fantastic. They have loved us. It's felt like family. And that's the way it should be. Amen?
Yeah.
That's the way it should be. And I want to thank all of you who volunteered, all of you who donated, all of you who called. Whatever you did, because some of you said, well, I couldn't because I had other commitments, but maybe you got the word out, maybe you prayed for us or whatever it was, thank you. Willow, you've done a phenomenal job, And I especially want to thank those that have been here, some almost every day that have been here and have served so faithfully. I know they need rest. They need it real bad. So let me ask you, Becky, where are you? Becky Bonnie? Becky?
She's here.
Becky, okay. Before we take up our offering, how are we doing with our volunteers or Emily or Renee? Can y'all speak to that as far as through tomorrow?
We need some men.
Okay.
We have women that are volunteering, but we need some men.
Okay, at what time?
Throughout today.
Throughout today. So we need some guys, maybe at least one, preferably two guys, to help run security probably from 11 from this time until tomorrow. So if you can work, say, one of our 6-hour shifts, then talk. There's Becky. Is Renee here? I didn't see Renee. Emily, I know Emily's here. So they're going to be back here at this desk near the children's area. Is that where you'll be?
Yeah.
I can't see you. There's a glow coming off your face right here. Okay. Which is good.
Well, I'm
You'll be at one of those two desks. Okay, so they'll be available. If you could help us with that, again, you don't have to serve the whole 24 hours. Just if you could take a six-hour shift, that would be very, very much appreciated. All right, our deacon of the week, y'all, listen. Our deacon of the week was Brad Krim. Do you know where Brad is right now? He is on the road going to Jacksonville, Florida, as we speak. I'm not even going to say what I think, okay? I have already texted him what I thought is where I go. But he said, texted me this morning about 8 o'clock. He said, Scott, we got our last tank of gas to get us all the way to Jacksonville. We'll be okay. So anyway, so he's not here. They decided to take off because they want to be with their son James down who's in Orlando. Anyway, they're working on all the details, but that's where he is. So he's not going to be here. So I think, who's the deacon of the week? Who do you transition off to? Nobody. Okay. All right. He tried to. So, okay, David, if you would give our offertory prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, for your love and your mercy to us, Lord. Thank you for your provision, your protection, Lord, in so many areas, Lord. Lord, I pray that you continue to be with those that are experiencing the flood personally in their homes this morning. Lord, I pray that you just give them strength, comfort, and a peace of mind, Lord, during this time, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with all of us, Lord, that have just had anxiety just because of just in the waiting, Lord, to wondering what would happen, Lord. But I pray for your strength to be upon us, Lord, as we seek to help those in need, Lord. We thank you for this day and this time of worship, Lord, that we can just give you glory. Lord, at this time, as we give back just a little bit of what you've blessed us with, Lord, Amen. We pray that you use it for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to show you a video as we take up the offering. And last Sunday, we showed the video. It was from KHOU, and they interviewed Liz Royer. And so this one is from, I think, was it KPRC? I'm not sure, but it's got Laurie Cherian in it. Laurie, where are you? Raise your hand. There she is over here. Go.
Instead of shoveling out debris, Ed Gardy is shoveling in sand. His home already has 6 feet of water, but he fears more, like fellow Lake Jackson resident Lori Sherry.
Just waiting for spring.
The fear is that flooding conditions will get worse. The rain from the north is coming down, and the water at Oyster Creek is rising, creating mandatory evacuations in parts of the city.
It's been like a wave, no pun intended. On the one hand, we've had really stressful times, and then we kind of lapse into normality, and then we get a little stressed again.
The task for these residents and volunteers is to fill thousands of bags with sand and place them in communities to act as a barrier to divert moving water.
The conditions are so loud, it's hot out here, and it's a lot of work, quite frankly. But the people here are doing it because they have hope. According to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, these sandbags do not provide a guaranteed watertight seal, but they are effective in some areas. So, residents here say, why not?
You gotta do everything you can. Things get worse, you gotta try and counteract it. You can't really stop nature, but you can try.
I'm from Louisiana, so this is, it's kind of ingrained in me when things happen. You rally together, you help each other out.
Strangers turn friends, all working together to help each other out.
It breaks my heart to see all that's happening to all the families. The beautiful thing is this, all the volunteers coming out, and even though some people's homes are destroyed, they're happy out there volunteering.
Nearly 10,000 bags will be strategically distributed in affected areas, and they will keep going until supplies run out. Day in and day out, volunteers determined to save their city. In Lake Jackson, Rashi Batts, Fox 26 News.
Yeah, good job, Larry. Really good. And I heard that one of our other members, George Barnett, anybody see George Barnett on? They told me about that. Charlotte was saying that And so his house, we think, got flooded as well. We've not been able to contact them. I'm going to read the names of the people that we know that were directly impacted. This is not the full list, just the 22. And if there's somebody else that attends here that you didn't hear their name, please write it down on the blue card and give it to me after the service. Dell and Nildia Alquist, Joe and Cynthia Baggett, Alicia Bird, Glenn and Christy DuPont, Wade and Jen Fielding, Keith and Laurie Fisher, Paul and Janet Harrison, Mike and Grace Hines. Does anybody know if they got to see their house yet, Mike and Grace?
It's dry. It's dry now.
It's dry now.
Yeah. Yeah,
they live right on the banks of the... What is that sub? What is that called out there? What's the, Brazos Oaks or? I don't know.
It's actually the Stevens Division. It's between 288 and the old Angleton Road.
Yeah.
And that is County Road 687 that Grace lives on.
687.
She lives on the bio side. Everybody. It looks like a war zone out there.
It's a war zone out there. So, the Hines, Barry, and Melissa Kidd. Talking about barrier. Hey, amen. That was sandbags. All right. Praise God. Save that house. Barry, Melissa Kidd, Doug and Nora Klepzig, Jamie and Sherry Lewis, Raymond and Stella Maldonado, Charlie and Kim Miller, Jay and Renetta Moore, Walter and Susan Moore, Robin and Diana Oakes, Mansell and Gail Wilfred, Val Willingham, George and Sue Barnett. And so if you know somebody else I did not mention, then just, again, get that on the blue card. Let me just go through the announcements, okay? And these are, we need to go through some of these things to let you know what's going on here. So as I said, we're going to close the shelter tomorrow at noon, and we will need some help. And what we're going to do today is we're going to move all of our donations, all right? If you can help us at 2:30, we would appreciate it. We're going to move all of our donations, or most of them we're going to take to the donation drop-off at Brazos Mall. So if you can help us with that. Now, if you are here and you are one of those that have been touched by the flood and you need anything between once the service is over until 2:30, you can get anything you want out of that building, okay? Anything. So if you've been touched by it, all of that is there for you to pick up. But at 2:30, then we're going to begin transitioning. So you can help that way. We're also going to be putting the church back together after 11 o'clock tomorrow. So if you can help us with that, that would be very, very much appreciated. I'm going to try to do, and do you have those announcements? Can you put those announcements up? Let me see what I've got here. Okay. Give me just a minute. Okay, all right. So what we're doing is we're going to join with First Baptist Lake Jackson to help those who need mud out assistance. And the way you can volunteer is twofold. You can either go to their website and make sure you put /mud out. I did not see that on their website. If you just went to the basic website, fbclj.org, I didn't see it there. So that's why you need to put that backslash. Or you can do the text thing, and that is there on the screen. Now, hopefully, at the end of the service, Brad Dawson or someone from First Baptist Lake Jackson is going to be here today, hopefully. So if you have questions about that, how to do it, then he'll be available to answer those. If you want to know how to do a mud out, this is great training that Greg Pickering put on, Pastor Brazos Point Fellowship. So just go to their website. Actually, you can, again, the flood updates, you can just go to their website, brazospoint.com, and at the top of their homepage, you'll see a link that you can go to, and you open the link, and then you can go down and see the video. It's about a 30-minute training. It's real easy, real basic, but it's something that's very, very important information. Greg has done bunches of these mud outs, so he knows what he's talking about. And also, I know that Brad Dawson will be here. He can answer some of the specific questions that you may have. So if you are here today, and let's see, Stephanie, you have the insert or the handout. Y'all look at that handout with me. Just everybody should have received one. I know I have it. Here we go. All right. So on one side it says, if you need assistance cleaning your house, let us know. So now we're not just going to come and clean your house because it's dirty, okay? Somebody go, whoop. Great. No, you have to have been a part of the flood, okay? Some of you really need to clean your house out, okay? Thank you. So tell us the type of work that you need done. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to help it, but we want to try to. And it may be that we get you the information to link up with an organization. And as we'll find out from Brad, it may be that we can put our people on the list that they're, do you know anything about that, Keith? Okay. Maybe we can get you on their list of the people that they're going to. We can get you help a little bit quicker. So put that in the white box there, the clear box as you're leaving, and we'll follow up on those as quick as we can. On the back side, we have Willow T-shirts, and this is something that we would like, if you're out in the community volunteering, to have that Willow T-shirt. This is what it is going to kind of look like. We think, can you even see that? Okay, it says Willow, hope, love, healing. And so if you'd like to get one of those T-shirts, we'll be making our order this week. And the cost is, I believe, $10. Now, if we get enough, the cost will go down, I don't know, $1, $2 or something like that. So fill that out again. Put that in the clear box as you're leaving. Or Alyssa, where are you? Or give it to Alyssa. And we'll make sure that you get those. How long will it take, Alyssa? Do you have any clue? Maybe a week? Okay, we're going to try to have it by next Sunday so if we can get the order in. You don't have to initially have the money today, but it's just when you pick it up, you can give us the money then. Be a great way of showing people the love of Christ and from this congregation. All right, I've got notes all over the place, so just give me a minute here. Okay, so as we shut down this shelter, what we're going to work towards is for Willow to become a volunteer housing center. There are lots of people that want to come down here and work and help out the community, but as you know, there's no place to stay. All the hotels are full, and there's just no place for people to go, and I'm not sure what the trailer parks are like. So we would like to offer this place, specifically Building B over there. We want to open up Building B to be a volunteer housing center. So, but it's going to require us to do a number of things, and I'm not sure we can pull it off because it's going. And you know what? With God, what all things are. Here's what we need. Let me tell you what we need. Maybe somebody's got a connection. We can all pray at least. We need a shower trailer is what we need. We need a shower trailer. So if you know anybody, know where we might get that, whatever, let me know at the end of the service. But do this. Don't catch me at the end of the service. It'll be crazy. Write it on the blue card. Hey, Pastor, follow up with this person. I think they might have one, or this may be a resource for you. But pray that we get that here, because we can open that up pretty quick within just a few days once we get that shower trailer. So that's what we're going to work towards. What my emphasis will be is sort of after trying to turn this into a volunteer housing center is I'm going to work with, if some of you have seen it's called bcrecovertogether.org, bcrecovertogether.org. That's the churches and the community working cooperatively together. So I'm going to give my emphasis, my effort there to see if we can organize a little bit better and be more effective in our approach to reaching people and to addressing the needs they have. I would just encourage you. Some of you say, well, I just don't know what to do. Some of you may be limited, certainly financially. There are some opportunities that you can give to. But if you want to do this mud out thing, it doesn't take a whole lot. It just really takes a body to get there, see what other people are doing, and join in on the work. And so the way that First Baptist, and Keith, again, you're the one who kind of put me onto this, the way I understand with First Baptist, they have like a sign-up. You can actually go on their page, and then you can sign up for the day that you're available. Now, you may say, well, I can't do it the whole day. That's fine, but just sign up that day. Then they'll follow up with you to see how much time you have to give. And if it be 6 hours, 8 hours, 2 hours, whatever, they can help you do that. All right, let me just ask my staff, Alyssa or Doug, is there anything else that you can think of that may need to be addressed? What? I'm getting to that. I'm getting to that. Yeah. Follow us on Facebook if you're not doing that, or if you're not getting our email updates. And some of you said, I've had many of you say, well, I've signed up. Well, check your junk email, because we probably put you in there, and that's just where it's going. But follow us on Facebook. And that's it. Okay, so for the church activities, let's see. Here we go. So our regular schedule of activities will begin next Sunday. So Wednesday night, I'm not sure what the youth are planning to do Wednesday night. Have y'all? Okay. So tentatively, whatever, the youth will be meeting on Wednesday night. The children will not. The children's activities all start up next Wednesday, as do the adult activities. So regular schedule, two services next Sunday. 40 Days of Community, look, it already got kicked off, okay? Hurricane Harvey said, now we're starting, okay? That's what he said. You're starting this thing of community now. And so we began that, whatever it was, August 28th or something like that. We were wondering about, you know, what are the community activities that we can do as a church to show our community we love them? Well, okay, we got that, all right? You can do that every day, so... But anyway, the 40 Days of Community will start next Sunday. One church, one day. That's the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer thing that's going on in our community. Our day is tomorrow, or starting at 12. Tonight through 11 p.m. Tomorrow. So if you're part of that, just be aware of it. You should have got an email. And there's, I believe, out here on the information table, if you need to pick up a prayer guide, do it. The prayer is essentially pray for this, our community. And then next Sunday is a special business meeting that we'll have, I think it's 6 o'clock, we may have it right after the service, I'm not sure, but it will be next Sunday as we talk about kind of the road ahead with our church administrator position. As many of you know, David Carey was the man that we called to fill this position, and he had a stroke on the day he began. He was to begin his work here. I talked with Priya, his wife, just a few days ago, and David is progressing. They're seeing some good things. He's beginning to talk in sentences. He has full function, or a lot of function, on the right side of his body. He's gaining some function on the left side of his body, which is a huge praise the Lord. I mean, it's a big deal. But it's slow progress, but yet it's still it's progress. And so we want to talk about that and sort of the road ahead with that position. That's what the special call business meeting is about. All right, I think I covered it all. Was that it? Got it. Okay, I'm good. All right, turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. Danny, could you come help me for a second? I have not done this PowerPoint in so long, I don't know how to open up this window. So, it's been... thought I just did that. If you could, do that. All right. So the message this morning is called, entitled, Overcoming This World. I want to open this one. It's up on the screen. Oh, okay. No. That's it. You did it. Okay, great. Way to go, Daniel. Thank you for your contribution to help the flood victims here, okay? Helping me out. Overcoming this world. So this is what I want to talk about. How do we weather the storm? How do we weather the storm? How do we get through all the destruction, all the loss, all the hurt, all the worry, all the uncertainty,
How do you get through this mess? And not only just personalize it to your situation if you've been affected by the flood, but I'm just talking about in life as well. How do you weather those storms? And so that question's been asked, right? Everybody asks that question, and they say, how are we going to get through this thing together? And they interview people on TV, and what do people say? What do they say? They say prayer, but they say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stick together, right? We're going to stick together. We're going to stay positive. We're going to help each other, right? I mean, these are things that you hear over and over again. Hey, we'll make it through this thing. How are you going to do it? Well, we're going to make it through this thing together. We're determined. We have grit. We're going to count our blessings. All those things, and all those things are really, really good. But let me tell you something. All those things are not enough. They're not enough. Because what all those things are talking about is just inner fortitude or outer, you know, support. I'm getting support from others, and that's carrying me through this thing. Or inner fortitude, I'm just going to be resilient. I'm not going to give in to this thing. Those things are helpful. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have the ultimate advantage. That these things that we are able to overcome these things in a greater way than just being resilient and having the support of others. In 1 John chapter 5, this is not the Gospel of John, it's 1 John, which is right before the book of Revelation. John says this, everyone who believes in that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments. Loving God means keeping His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So you say, hey, it's real, it's just faith, okay? You have faith in Jesus, and you love others. This is what I want you to see. For every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory over this evil world through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How do we overcome this world that's come at us? This flood, this hardship, this difficulty. Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God will overcome this world. So this morning I want to talk about overcoming this world. Here's what you need to know. Three things. First thing is this. We are in a battle against the God of this world system. We are in a battle against the God of this world system. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Go ahead and turn there. Danny, if you can pull those up, that would be helpful. But if not, we'll do without. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says, Satan, who is the God of this world, say that with me, the God of this world. Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. He is, and I want you to see again, he is the God of this world. He is the God of this world system. Now you need to understand this. This world system is more than just people who persecute believers. It's everything that is contrary to God's perfect plan. Satan is the God of this world system. From broken economics to broken relationships, he is the chief influencer and the chief instigator. He influences and holds captive the people of this world, and he affects the physical and spiritual environment of this world. Now, folks, you need to get this one straight. You need to get it real clear that what happened here was not from the hand of God. Some person said to me, I just don't understand God, why God would do this. I looked at him and said, are you kidding me? God doesn't do these kind of things. The enemy is the one who steals, kills, and destroys. He's the God of this world system. And we know this, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? Come on, amen? 1 John 3:8 says he came to destroy the works of the enemy. And what are the works of the enemy? He said, man, what are the works of the enemy? What are the works of the enemy? Look, exactly. Job. Look at Job. Job chapter 1. Chapter 2. Look at Job. And what happened in Job? Satan came, and what did he do? What did he do? He stole, he killed, he destroyed. He brought a mighty wind, possibly a tornado, and it killed all of his kids. He caused a huge, it sounds like a lightning storm, that killed his animals and killed his servants. He instigated robbers who came throughout his into his farms and ranches and took everything. He was behind it all. And one of Job's servants said, the fire from God has fallen upon us. Friend, that was not from God. It was from the God of this world. He's the one that was behind it. He's behind all destructive activity, be that emotional, relational, financial, physical. Mankind has to accept a healthy dose of responsibility, but Satan has his mix always behind it. Now understand this. You understand this? Believers, you understand this. Jesus defeated him on the cross. Amen? We have authority, but he still has power. We have authority, but he still has power. Authority always trumps power, right? Authority always trumps power. So the little English teacher at Brazosport High School, who weighs 110 pounds, has authority in her classroom, despite the 250-pound linebacker who says, I ain't going to do the assignment. Who's got more power? Well, now he does, because he's stronger, right? Who's got more authority? She does. She runs that classroom. She can say, get out of my classroom. You go to see the principal. She has authority. So he has power. We have authority. Friend, I'm going to say this. I believe it with all of my heart. You look at that bubble that sort of protected this area during all those rains. I said last Sunday, for those that weren't here, you looked at how we were between those rain bands. How many inches of rain did we get in Brazosport? What was it, 12, 14, something like that? You think about that. Put 40 more inches on top of that here. What would this place look like today? We'd all be gone. Everybody would have water. It would be an absolute mess. You look at that protective hand of, I believe that. Absolutely believe that. We have authority. He has power. He can steal, he can kill, he can destroy, he causes sorrow, he causes trouble. Of course, a lot of it we bring on ourselves, right? We do that. We make dumb decisions, Brad Grimm. We do things that we shouldn't do. I hope he watches this, okay? Yeah, you're telling, y'all text him right now. Yeah, do that. No, he'll probably be reading it as he's driving in the 50-mile-an-hour wind. Do not text him right now, okay? I mean, we make bad choices. We do things. We get stuff that happens just because of our decisions. But we have authority over the evil one. All suffering has its origin in Satan. And what do I mean by suffering? Here's what I mean. See, most Christians think of suffering just as being persecuted. No! Suffering is this. It's anything less than God's best. Anything less than God's best is suffering. Whatever happens on earth that is not happening in heaven is less than God's best. Whatever is happening on earth that is not happening in heaven is less than God's best, and that is suffering. What do I mean by that? I'm talking about an aging body that's suffering. Even if you're in your 20s, your body's still dying. It's aging. I'm talking about injustices. I'm talking about broken relationships. I'm talking about natural disasters. Whatever. Whatever happens on earth that does not happen in heaven is suffering. It's all suffering. See, we're going to get to heaven one day and even come down here to earth. We're going to think, man, boy, that life, that first life I lived, or that life I lived on earth, that was hard. Now, it will seem like nothing compared to the glory we have, but everything that we experience in this life that is less than what God wants, I believe is suffering. You may say, well, you know, Scott, that's just the way it is. Look at me. That's not the way it was supposed to be. Okay? There was not supposed to be death. There was not supposed to be heartache. There was not, nothing was supposed to be broken. It was all meant to be whole. But because mankind gave in to the plan of Satan, now we're experiencing this suffering that we're in. During this time of destruction, the God of this world wants you to feel, listen to me, the God of this world, he brings this flood, he wants you to feel overwhelmed and overcome by this devastation. It's so broad, it's so massive, it's so personal, it's just too big. It seems insurmountable. He wants you to be crushed by the weight of his world. And John says this, and every child of God defeats this evil world. We defeat it through our faith in Jesus Christ. Turn to John 16, verse 33. If y'all can y'all get me back to this? I need to get back to this screen here. Paul, we can do that. Sure how to do that. There we go. John 16, 33. Jesus finishes up his last kind of teaching to his disciples. And he wraps it up with these words. I have told you all of this. Again, all this, he's getting them prepared because he's about to die just in a few hours. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Let me just be honest with you guys. You're going to have trials and sorrows. But take heart, be of good cheer, be happy, because I have overcome the world. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Here on earth, you will have many trials. Here on earth, you will have many trials. Say that with me. Here on earth, you will have many trials. Turn to somebody and tell them that right now, okay? But take heart, because I have overcome the world. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Say that to somebody right now.
Take heart.
Woo! Amen. Jerry Boyette was helping me with this part of the message. This is really good. Now, notice how Jesus says it. He says, there are going to be difficulties, there are going to be hardships, there are going to be sorrows. Know that, but hey, I've overcome them. I have overcome these. I have overcome this world system. Here on earth, in this world system, you will have hardship and trials. But take heart. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome this world system. I have overcome it. See, there are two worlds here. See if I can illustrate this way. There are two worlds. One, two. And you have a choice which world you're going to live in. Today, as you walk out, you got a choice. Are you going to live in this world right here? This world right here that's controlled, that is influenced by the God of this world, or you can live in another world called the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus lived this verse we're seeing right here. He lived it. He experienced every hardship that this world system could throw at him. This world system that's influenced and instigated by Satan could throw at him. He experienced it. He experienced loss, rejection, betrayal, abuse, injustice, attacks, hardships of every kind, hatred, hunger, pain, temptation, and death. And he overcame them all. Amen? He experienced everything. Everything, as the book of Hebrews says, he's experienced everything that any of us have ever experienced. He experienced them all. And what did he do? He overcame them all because he lived in a different world. He lived from a different perspective. You overcome these sorrows. You will have sorrows in this world, but you can overcome them through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what 1 John 5 says. We have victory over this world through our faith in Jesus. Now, you've got a choice. You can live in victory over this world system. 1 John chapter 4 says this, greater is he, if you know it, greater is he who is in you than he who is what? In this world. What does that mean? Greater is the Spirit of God that is living in me than the spirit of the devil who is in this world. Greater is the Spirit of God who is in me than the spirit of the devil that is in this world. And you've got a choice. Which world are you going to live in? You're going to live in the W or you're going to live in the K? If you focus on this world, if you focus right here, I'm telling you, you're going to be disappointed. It's never going to be fulfilling. There'll be moments of hope. There'll be reprieves when you feel like, okay, I can make it. But in the end, it's futility. You want to know what this world is like? Just read the book of Ecclesiastes. Just read Ecclesiastes. Just read it. Because he describes this world and this world system. In the end, Solomon says, you know, it's all fleeting. It's all gone. You know what it is? It's nothing but a bunch of trash sitting on the side of the road. That's all it is. It's nothing but a bunch of trash on the side of the road. That's all it is. Just junk. And the only thing in the end that counts is to love God and to obey his commands. That's it. That's what the world system offers us. It's what Satan tries to throw at us. If you live from the perspective of God's kingdom, let me tell you this, you will cry. There will be sorrows. It will be hard. You will be despairing. But in the end, you have a different perspective. And what it is that you see things as they really are. What do we see in this flooding? What do you see? See water. Okay. Got that. Good insight. You see chaos. You see what? Okay, stop there. Okay. You see sorrow, you see destruction, you see loss, you see devastation, you see chaos, and you also see people coming together. You see compassion. You see people giving. What do you see? You see world number one with chaos and destruction. And world number two, you see the kingdom. You see two worlds. Which world will you live in? When did we have the solar eclipse? When was that? August 23rd. Okay. 20, okay, whatever. August 20-something, okay? So on that moment in time, what happened? What happened? For a moment in time, it looked like the moon and the sun were the same size, right? For a moment in time, the moon eclipses the sun. How long did that last? How long? Yeah, a couple of minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. It was temporary, right? You see, it's all about perspective. Because in time, it passed. It didn't stay there, it passed. And for a moment, it looked like the moon was as big as the sun. Look at that. That's incredible. But did you know this? That the moon in relationship to the sun, how many moons can fit into the sun? 64 million. 64 million moons can fit into the sun. And yet for a brief moment, it looks like they're the same. You see, I'm telling you folks, this world isn't the same size. This world right here is not the same size as this world. This world is the size of this room. And here we are, we're inside it. I don't even know if I can get a dot to go on there. No, can't do it. Won't do it. You are inside that kingdom. But your mindset can be living in this kingdom right here. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble, and it will seem big. It will seem big, okay? And it will seem insurmountable, and there will be pain, and it will be grueling, and you will lose some things. But be cheerful, because I have overcome everything that this world system will throw at you. I have overcome it all. It all bows at my feet. I've overcome it all. And to live in victory in this world system, you have to walk in the reality of this, that Jesus, I am in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. I want you to turn to John 17, 23. Jesus prays this prayer in John 17, 23, and he ends up in this prayer as he prayed, and he's specifically praying for you in this room. He says, Father, I in them and you are in me. I am in them and you are in me. Say that with me. I am in them and you are in me. It's up on the screen. Read it with me again. Just that first sentence. I am in them and you are in me. And then John 14. John 14, 20. A few verses earlier, Jesus says this, when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He uses the same language. You will know that you are in me, and I am in you. Do you know where I am right now? Y'all know where I am right now? I am in Jesus. I am in Jesus right now. As I speak to you, I am in him. And guess what? Guess who's with me? Everybody in this room who has their faith in Christ. Let me go back to that screen if we can. But if you're living over here in this world, it sure doesn't feel like it. Folks, you are living in another world. You are in Christ. You are here, inside of him. And guess what? He overcame everything. He overcame everything. Everything that was thrown at him, he overcame it. So what does that mean? If he overcame it, then what does that mean? We've overcome it. Now, at times, it's not going to feel like it. He says, you will have hardship. There are trials and sorrows, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And by the way, I'm in you, and you are in me. And therefore, you have overcome it. We have overcome this world. Say that with me. We have overcome this world. The same Spirit that gave him the ability to walk through hardship, unanswered prayer, rejection, abuse, and even death is now resident inside of me. I am in him. He is in me. So right now, I am in him, but also since he's in me, he gives me the strength to walk through everything. The strength, the focus, the ability to walk through everything. He walked through everything. He is now in me. And I have the ability to walk through everything. Amen? He is in me through the person of the Holy Spirit. How is it possible to move through this storm, through this flood, to go on another day when it just seems so hard, to have hope, to be light, to be an encouragement, to demonstrate my faith? I can do it because I am in him. And he overcame these things. And by the way, he is in me, and he's given me the power to overcome these things. He overcame it, I'm in him. He's in me, I'm going to overcome it. Amen? That's how this works. This world system that is influenced by Satan, cannot overcome the believer. He overcame everything the God of this world system threw at him. And so you, because of your faith in Jesus, since you are in him and he is in you, you will also overcome it. He walked through trials, sorrows, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you can walk through trials and sorrows in the power of the Holy Spirit because he is inside of you. He rose victorious over this world system. Therefore, guess what? You rise victorious over this world system. He is in you, giving you strength, courage, vision, power, and you are in him, walking over the obstacles that are in your way. Say, I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
And Christ is in me. Amen. Let's stand together. So today you've got a choice. Which of the two worlds are you going to live in? Are you going to live in this world? In this world, you will have trials. You will have sorrows. Or are you going to live in this world? But be of good cheer. Let's do this. Be of good cheer. There we go. Because he's overcome the world. And you are in him. And he is in you. So Holy Spirit, I pray for those today that feel weighted down by what's happening around them. Some of them maybe not have been touched by as personally as others, but still there's just a lot of heartache and there's a lot of travail and there's a lot of anxiety. Today, Holy Spirit, I pray that that reality that they are in Christ and Christ is in them would fill them with confidence and hope and give them strength through the trial. And with your head bowed and just you talking to God, you know, this is only a promise for believers. I mean, he says in 1 John chapter 5, we who have faith in Jesus have overcome this world. We who have faith in Jesus, do you have faith in Jesus? Is it just head knowledge or is there a heart commitment to him? If you're not sure of that, but you want to be sure of that, would you surrender your heart to him? Just say, Jesus, today I give you my heart. I give you everything. Today I turn my life over to you. You died for me. You overcame death for me. You took away my sins. Every obstacle in my life you have removed through your blood and through your resurrection. And today I give my heart to you. You can overcome. Listen, friend, you can overcome, but it only happens when you have your faith in Christ. And if you prayed that prayer today, I want you to tell somebody. In a moment, we're going to be dismissed, and our prayer team's going to be down front. And if you're here and you need extra prayer, you need that encouragement of the Holy Spirit, I want you to come forward and receive that prayer from them. In fact, let me have my deacons that are here and also the prayer team. Those folks would come on down right now. So, Holy Spirit, again, we just pray that you would encourage every heart that's here. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me speak this blessing over you. And let me see, is anybody here from First Baptist Lake Jackson? Did they come in? Here he is. Oh, Brad's here. Brad's here. Brad is here. Y'all welcome, Brad Dawson. Awesome. Brad is a minister of outreach there. God bless you, brother. God bless you. And y'all know, a lot of y'all know him from the breakout. Not breakout. Upward. We do breakout. Y'all do upward. Anyway, so why don't you say a few words to the folks? And
sure. All right, great. I am in my mud out clothes, okay? Not church clothes. But that's because we are about to do some mud outs here in just a few moments over at First Baptist Church at 1 o'clock. Now, I know that that's probably not most ideal for you since you got to go home and eat and all that kind of stuff, but I am telling you here that there's several more days of a lot of mud outs. We're going into many homes. We cannot have too many folks. And the simple way of telling you how that's going to work is that if we're going to be meeting each morning of this week at 8 o'clock and using the gym area, those of you that are familiar with Upward, using right there at the gym area, actually inside the gym is the staging area, and we'll divide up whoever shows up. It would be helpful. If you're familiar with your smartphone, I don't know if that's up here. Perfect. There you go. If, especially that last one where it says at MudOutLJ, if you'll just text that to the number 81010, that'll tell us you're on board, and that'll also allow us to send you messages when we have special needs and special MudOut projects, and it'll help us communicate all the way through. So I will hang around for a few minutes afterwards, and you want me to be out there? And if you got any questions, I've even got instructions that might help out some of your team leaders and individuals. So feel free to come out and visit with me, and I can answer additional questions, okay?
All right. Y'all welcome him. Thank him again for what he's doing. All right. If you're visiting with us for the first time, my wife and I will be in the atrium. We'd love to visit with you. Also, a reminder about the cards. Put that in the clear box on your left as you're leaving. From Hebrews chapter 13, receive this from the Lord today. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, and who ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may today he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to him, so that all glory be to him forever and ever. Amen.